Hey, Super Screw here's got an idea.
What's that?
I think one of these weeks I'll trade places with Brandon in there because he has so much fun with these guys like TJ and Greg. These guys are superstars. And you can come do the four outdoorsmen. How does that sound?
I'm in.
We don't trust you with electronics.
Do I have to push a button?
It's all it is. It's just a couple buttons.
If I got a right click, I'm screwed, man.
They always say that, but it's not that easy.
Boy, hell of a show, Brandon. It's fun listening to those guys. Hey, thanks for being here, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, and once you guys get your gig going again, summer stuff, let us know because we're in. I'll come visit
Struby
you guys.
Struby a groupie.
I'm always a groupie.
He's officially retired now. Can we announce that?
Oh, I'm officially retired from Shelley Real Estate.
I learned this on the way here. We talk to each other every day. I learned that Strew is officially retired as of January 1 from the real estate.
You know, and I've been selling real estate for the same company for 34 years, and I'm kind of a big shot. Used to be a big shot. And they give you these, I forget what it's called. It's like a scanning thing to get into the door, you know,
badge.
Whatever it is. Yeah. So
that's why you can't do any electronics.
He's a big Brevo, shot. Usually, Brevo, people scan
I think it's called Brevo or something. So my license is done as of December 31st. January 1, I got to go to the office, get some stuff, clean out my desk. I go there. I'm already shut up,
they
man.
Already got you.
Have a good day, man. Thanks for your time. I'll be here next week. The hell is that?
Stu, are you going to continue to sell at all?
Hell no.
So you're not going to renew your license?
Not at all. Not at all. I'm tired of dealing with a-holes.
Wow.
34 years is enough, pal. You get grumpy. What do you call it? An old curmudgeon like Joe Souchere when you get older, you know? And
well, you hide it well.
I'm pretty good at it, you know?
You come in here with like just a ball of energy every week.
I have a lot of fun. I love to laugh, man.
A lot of EJs. And,
someday I'll tell you the story. About 5 years ago, and I've been in this a long, long time, and I made a good living. I'm blessed. I understand that. My wife was my partner for a number of years, and I said it's going to take one person and one transaction is going to tell me, I'm out of here. And that's what happened.
Was it mine?
No, it wasn't yours, pal. It wasn't yours. But I'll tell the story to you guys. It's a great story. And she was a pain in the ass. But enough's enough. You know, I've got stuff going on. I do this every Sunday. What else I got to do?
Yeah.
But it's been a lot of fun.
As long as you're fulfilled.
We're going to talk about some ways to keep you busy, Stu.
That's not going to happen.
He does not need any advice in keeping busy.
No, Mark's got an idea. All right,
should we ask the audience about it or no?
Hey, I tell you what, welcome everybody to the 4 Outdoorsman. And this is Stu Man. Sam's next to me. Mark Lukey is next to him. And Brandon's behind the glass. And thanks for being here. But I'm enjoying life. I got a lot of stuff going on. And Mark comes up to me yesterday with an idea.
Yes.
And I'm not in yet.
Let's hear it.
I understand. I thought if we start like a weekly or biweekly or monthly series, Fishing with Stru.
Sounds like a job.
Heck yeah.
Sounds like a job.
Any local guide or bait shop or anyone that wants a little publicity and wants to get their name out takes you fishing for 2 hours, 3 hours. We film it. We have them on the show the next week, learn about them. So we'll get you out. Fishing with other people we haven't met before.
Here's the deal, Stru. You already do that.
Yeah, but
I've bow hunted 4 times a week for the last 6 months.
Yeah, you started playing racquetball again.
I played racquetball twice last week and didn't get hurt. All these people who are good at fishing, doesn't have to be a guide or anything you're talking about, but I don't care who it is, they're gonna really understand what a phony I am. I don't know what the hell I'm doing out there.
Hey. We don't pretend we're pros.
We never have.
And part of the deal is they set you up, right? So you show up with them, fish with them for a while. You don't have to bring anything. You just talk and fish and have fun. And you meet a new person. Fishing with Stru on the 4 Outdoorsmen.
Can I have a cocktail?
Of course. Do whatever you want.
Stru Man might be in. But no, no. We'll talk about that later on. Hey, welcome everybody to the 4 Outdoorsmen. Sam, how you been, buddy?
I've been good. It's been a long week. Cold for the past couple days. It felt really cold, but
boy, today was beautiful, wasn't it?
It was. It was very nice today. I woke up to that snowfall. I didn't realize that we were getting some snow last night, but yeah, it was a beautiful day today.
Did you go to bed at 7 or something? How'd you not know where you were snow?
Actually, no. I was on last night. Something weird happened, right? So we pulled into the driveway. I want to say around like 7 o'clock, and there was a giant red fox sitting in our driveway.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, what the heck? And I said, James, look at that. And he's like, oh, that's a fox. And it ran around our backyard. And so me being the hunter I am, I quickly ran back there and was looking for it. And there was two fox literally running around.
Are they fox or are they foxes?
I hesitated.
Fox eye.
there. There was two foxeye running around trying to get these four rabbits.
Oh.
And I was on patrol trying to see if I could get them to come in, but I couldn't. But it was still fun. So that was my outdoor adventure this week.
Ooh.
You were like Barney Fife, had a bullet in your pocket, huh? Good for you, man.
It was. We had a good carry class, thanks to Brandon helping me host the carry class yesterday.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a good turnout. But yeah, we did that. It was a good time.
Marky, what's new with you, buddy?
Well, I want to give a shout out to my son Nick, who scored his first goal today as
big
a might
deal.
Be.
They, big deal.
That's a huge deal.
I was very proud of that moment, and I'm doing well. I stayed up way too late with my brother-in-law last night playing poker. I don't get out much, and I had a great time with him. So,
are you nationally ranked now, considering one of the
I'm
people
not,
you
but
took
I
out?
I played for you about an hour and got to talking to the really nice guy next to me, figured out that he played poker in the World Series of Poker and finished and placed in money.
Nice.
So I'm sitting in some random, you know, game with friends, and I'm playing against a professional poker player.
That's awesome.
You ever done that at a casino where you sit down and you play, and then you realize everyone at the table is a dealer? And you're like,
No.
Yeah. You know what I like?
I guess I gamble more than you guys.
Hang on. Sam Mark was talking about his kid. Nick's a good kid. He's a good little hockey player. He's going to get better. He's learning the game, of course. But he's all excited about scoring a goal and a couple assists, which I'm proud of him. But he and his teammates may have destroyed about 14 other kids' lives as we speak because they beat him 30-0.
Yeah,
are you serious?
Yeah,
30-0.
Oh my gosh!
It was the other team's first game. They were a lot younger than us. It's at that age
it's
level,
hard.
You'll play a team that's outstanding, and then you'll play a team that is not very good. And, it got to the point where you really want the other team to score.
Absolutely.
Like, I was rooting for the other team, man. I'm like, come on. So we switched goalies, and it happens, you know?
Yeah. That's part of sports.
And our coach was good. He's like, we had to pass it 3-4 times before he shoot.
Yeah, that's smart.
And but it just happened. He has a good
team. It's got to be impossible. I coached my kids when they were older, when I met Diana, and we got married. But at that age, how do you tell a kid – do not try to score.
Right, exactly, because you're going to take the passion out of it.
Yeah. Right. It's okay telling them to pass, but yeah, you can't say don't give it all your effort after that's all you teach them.
I remember in basketball, you know, you'd get your butt stomped 1 week, and the next week you'd come back and you know, you'd put a hurt on a team, and I remember at that time, you know, we'd be up 30, you know, 40 points in the second half, and our coach would call timeout, and he would say, all right, guys, these next, you know, 5 minutes or whatever – all we're going to do is make sure we're running plays. We worked on plays in the game. It was good. Before we go to the next, do we have a caller at 610?
We do.
Really quick, I want to give a shout-out to Luke. My son turned 3
attaboy,
on
Luke.
Friday.
The biggest 3-year-old in the history of humankind.
He is a big boy. I'm super proud of him. Super proud of my whole family. But, yeah, happy birthday, Luke. I love you.
Mark, have you got something to say before we bring in Mike Rates?
I got a bunch of shout-outs. Brandon's talking to someone else. I don't know if he has a caller on or not, but
go ahead.
Do you want me to do shout-outs here?
Yeah. Until we...
Let's do them.
First shout-out is from our friend Corey Bechtold. You can check him out on What's Working Now Facebook page. Great page. Lots of great information. Chris Keeler says, pretty slow day, but the Pine Technical and Community College Gun Show is still on the calendar with new dates for the year April 10th, 11th. All proceeds go back to student activities and scholarships. Jesse Koskinimi says, I should be on my way out west today to a wolf hunt, but plans change. Bill Katz, I have to give a shout out to him. He just had surgery.
Yeah.
He's still in the hospital until Tuesday, but we're praying for you, Bill. Looks like the surgery went well. I hope you get better soon.
Get better soon.
Shannon Cruz, I believe he was on Lake of the Woods. I saw a cool video from him. His biggest of the weekend was 25. And our friend Craig Rudolph Jr. says, catching up on the honey-do list this weekend.
Hang on a second. Hey, Brandon, buddy.
Yes, sir?
Did you forget about the 610 phone call to Mike Rates?
No, I did not. Just said goodbye to my guests, and I'll get him on the line right now.
You're a good man.
Attaboy.
Well, we got a couple minutes. I just wanted to – I've had two different people in the past 3 days talk to me, the people I know who have fallen through the ice.
Wow.
This week.
Yeah.
One is actually a guy who works for my in-laws doing construction. He went in after his dog yesterday. His dog, I guess, must have hit a hole, and he walked up to get him, and he fell through. Thankfully, it was only 5 feet of water, and they got him out, got his clothes off, put him in an ice shack with a heater. And the other one was a guy that I work with in Michigan was driving his snowmobile in, you know, at night after pulling a sled, and all of a sudden, boom, just and so he said it was kind of weird because someone was riding with him, so they had the, you know, their arms around him, and
yeah,
he even said, I don't know if we're on the right path back. And all of a sudden, boom, just the whole snowmobile went in.
Oh, did he lose the snowmobile?
No. They were able, it was hanging on just from the front sled, but they had to come back the next morning, get back in the water, and get that snowmobile out. And then he dried it off, and he started to get it to work. So
they didn't go in the water.
They did. They went in.
At like, night.
Oh, yeah.
And so what do they do?
Like
they
physically
do?
Their bodies were
yes,
in the water?
Yes, they went in up to their shoulders.
Wow.
And they had to walk a mile to the truck.
Oof.
And it was, he said the only thing that was warm was his feet because the water in his boots got warm for after walking. For
you know, we'll have to have Tom Baddock on, I think, some other time. We've had him on a couple of times the first year, 7 years ago. And Tom Baddock went through the ice when he was going back to lakes where nobody knew where he was. He went through the ice, and that was quite a story. He's a first responder kind of guy, so he knew all the rules, what to do to save his life, but he's really lucky.
He went through the ice in Chautauqua.
I did.
We got him, Brandon. Snowmobile.
All right, we got our first guest. Tell us who it is.
Well, it's not a guest. It's just Mike Rates. Mike, how you doing? Fred, how you doing?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Every day's a gift. Now, hey, before we start talking about giving us fish reports and all of that, tell us what you did. You accomplished something today.
Yeah. So we fished our second UPL event, the Ultimate Panfish League. It was on Big Marine today. And we ended up getting the W. We had 10.467 pounds for our best eight crappies and seven sunfish.
Now, who are some of the other names that we would know in that UPL league you guys are in?
Oh, there's tons of great sticks. You know, you got the Adam Griffith, the Clayton Ketterling.
Was Adam there?
Yep. Adam was there, definitely.
Oh, fun.
Definitely.
I like to give Adam some sass.
Yeah, great fisherman. I mean, it's definitely a stacked field of anglers. I mean, everybody that fishes that series, I mean, they're good. You know, so you really, really got to have your game with you when you're going out there to fish for them.
You know,
if you don't, if you slip up, yeah.
Big Marine is so close to where we are. I'm in White Bear Lake, Matamidi area. I mean, I would love not to fish in this, obviously, but when you got, how often do you have these tournaments? I would love to just go out and BS with you guys and watch what's happening and interview a couple of guys. How often do you have them, and are they all metro lakes?
Yeah, for the most part. So it's 60 miles from the metro. You can have the lakes to fish. So we mainly fish the metro stuff. I think this is our fourth run at Big Marine in the past 5 years, I think 6 years, something like that. But, yeah, we fish a lot of lakes like, you know, Minnetonka, Pryor, you know, White Bear Lake. We fish a lot of those lakes around that area. I know that our next one's actually going to be on Tatanka down by Faribault there. So that'll be our next run there. And then we have just one more that actually runs out to the west, the Green Lake and Wilmer. So, but for the most part, 95% of those tournaments are right around the metro lakes.
Well, I'll tell you what, since we have Mike Rates on the air right now, and the main reason you're on the air is to give us the lake reports and maybe fishing reports around the metro, because that's where you spend most of your time. How are the ice conditions and what was working for you guys today?
You know, ice conditions were phenomenal. I'm actually really impressed with this cold front. You know, last weekend, I don't want to tell you that it was, you know, good. We found some really bad ice in a lot of areas, but this past week with that cold weather, it's really, 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 really thickened up the ice. And we saw trucks driving by, and you felt comfortable everywhere we were going. Everywhere we were going and drilling, we were seeing consistent, 12 to 14 inches of ice.
Wow.
So that's really, really good. And what was working for us today is the clam, the dropper spoons. That's been just a phenomenal. It's just a tiny little tungsten bead, and then it's got a little dropper chain with an epoxy ball that's in the middle of this treble hook. And it's got a little tiny diamond on the bottom of it, and that's what I use today. You know, no bait. I don't like using maggots or, you know, wax worms. I don't like using any live bait on my spoons. I actually just like to fish the spoon how the spoon should be fished.
So not even
really well.
Not even plastics or anything, just straight up spoon?
Just straight spoon, yep. Cool. Yep. I've just kind of found that's kind of the thing. I feel like when you put plastic on, I mean, trust me, the plastics, the maggots, the wax worms, the minnow heads, that all works on there. But I feel like you take a lot away from that spoon, from what it's really supposed to do.
Right.
And that's a big reason why I like to go without anything, too. And it's more of a confidence thing for me, you know. Please believe me, when I get a dropkick jig or any type of a jig on there, I'm going to pack her with maggots or I'm going to put on my favorite plastics and use those. But for a spoon, it's always seemed like just having nothing on it and just confidence in that spoon and just working that spoon out, it works. And those fish come up and they bite it. If they like it, they'll eat it. So,
how do you determine whether you're going to use something like the clam dropper spoon or the drop kick jig, which one is a vertical presentation, I'm thinking, and the other one's horizontal presentation?
Correct. So I,
not bad for pollock, really, huh?
Yeah, it's it's two different ways I look at it. I look at the bite that I'm looking at. So I like using a spoon 99.9% of the time, but there's always that place and time for that jig. And the jig really, for me, is when things get finicky, when they don't really want a lot of action. When I have a spoon on the end of my rod, I'm shaking that thing and I'm ripping it hard. I'm making as much commotion down in that water column as I possibly can. And then when I put a jig on, I'm slowing down. I'm getting the finesse things going with it, you know, just trying to make that tail on that plastic quiver or just make those maggots move just a little bit on there. But, yeah, when I see that the fish are active and they're hungry, just like they were today, I throw a spoon on instantly because it's a big fish bait. They don't see that a whole lot because they're so used to seeing the jigs, and it's just something erratic. You know, I like gold. Gold or like a silver, that's always been good. Get that good flash. You keep it up high in that water column, especially like today we were fishing shallow weeds. I mean, we fished 8 feet of water all day long into thick milfoil patches and cabbage patches. So for me, it's like keep it up really high, and you get that flash and you get that movement. And, you know, when those crappies see it, they come in and they just pulverize the thing.
What a day to be outside. Mark's got something to say.
Yeah, Mike, so you notice they're shallower still. They're not over the deep holes yet?
Yeah, and you know, here's a little trick, and I don't know if I'm giving out secrets here to the Metro, but I've been fishing the Ultimate Panfish League now for, I think this is either my sixth or seventh year. I got to look back. But it's always been a weed bed bite in the Metro. Mm-hmm. I have never fished a basin out there, and it's just weird. It's funny because I live in St. Cloud, as you guys know.
Yep.
So around us, it's basin fishing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have weed beds that hold these fish all year round. And we spend a lot of our time in, you know, 17 to 32 foot of water, you know, and we're just drilling holes. But when you get down to the Metro, it's just crazy how much weed growth there is. And, you know, the milfoil and, you know, it stands like, you know, the Minnetonka is a big example for that as well. It's just for whatever reason, they've got that cover and they stay there all year. Those weeds stay a lot greener. And even when a lot of them die off, they, you know, with that milfoil, when it dies off, it's still standing tall. And some of it's, you know, frozen to the top of the bottom of the ice. And so they use that as cover, and they'll actually, if when you drop a camera down and you look around, it's nuts. They'll sit right down and they use that as their little homes.
Those great tips, and I appreciate it. I'll tell you, well, we're gonna get you on again, but I'll tell you what, congratulations on the win today. And if you get a chance to listen to the next segment of our show, we've got Colleen Wallen on. She's a sled dog lady, and she's races sled dogs, and she's been mushing dogs for a long time. And she'll be our first guest. But follow us, and we'll follow you. Mike Rates, thanks for the Lake Report and the tips. And you take care and be safe, all right, buddy?
Yep, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, be careful. Bye. Tell you what, a lot of fun, huh?
Yeah.
Be right back with Colleen Wallen, and maybe her husband Ward's going to be with her. She's fishing. She's going to be racing in a big race up in Ely, Minnesota the next weekend.
It's exciting.
It is cool.
Now would be the time to check on the jerky. These smokers aren't going to tend themselves. You're listening to The Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Outdoors.
The Four Outdoorsmen love Devil's Lake. Right now it's all about ice fishing, and here there's no walleye slot limit and keep 5 a day with 10 in possession. And pound for pound, jumbo perch are about as much fun as any fish you'll ever catch. With 165,000 acres of water, Devil's Lake assures you social distancing, and that's not going to be a problem. Hey, Kurt Walbeck of Outdoor Bound TV says Devil's Lake is easily one of my favorite fishing hunting destinations. Wow. Check out devilslakend.com, and thank you.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company. You can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
Now's the time to find your new favorite cabin by the lake. The community of Minnesota Resorts invites you to find your perfect vacation or getaway at looneyinminnesota.com. Stay safe, stay local, and socially distance right here in Minnesota in one of our 183 owner-operated resorts. Find the right self-contained cabin or campsite in this land of 10,000 lakes. You gotta be loony not to. Go to loonyinminnesota.com. That's loonyinminnesota.com. Funding provided by Explore Minnesota.
What does that Ski-Doo feeling sound like? Whoa, dude, I love that thing.
Oh, that was awesome.
Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that Ski-Doo feeling during our Winter Celebration sales event on now. Visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,000 off select 2020 Summit 850 E-Tech models. Offer ends January 6th, 2021. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
USLBM, one of the largest building products distributors in the U.S., is hiring carpenters, assemblers, sales representatives, and drivers right here in the greater Minneapolis area. USLBM offers a competitive starting wage and a generous benefits package. Apply at uslbm.com today.
Brandon here for MyPillow.com. My MyPillow journey started with the most comfortable pillows ever made. Then I added the amazing Giza Dreams sheets. Now I've expanded my MyPillow collection with the MyPillow mattress topper. 3 inches of comfort from three unique layers. Layer 1 features the MyPillow patented foam, providing superior support and durability. Layer 2's transitional foam provides optimal comfort as it evenly distributes your body weight and helps relieve pressure points. Layer 3 is a cover made from phase change material to keep your body temperature regulated throughout the night. The zippered removable cover is washable and dryable, and the 4-corner straps hold your topper securely in place. All of this combines to give you the most peaceful sleep you could ever dream of. Go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code Bob when you buy a MyPillow mattress topper and get 2 free pillows and 30% off. That's MyPillow.com, and don't forget to use the promo code Bob.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hindsight is 2020. 2020 was a brutal year with a lot we couldn't control. Pandemic, economy, unemployment. What can we control? Our job, our career. Don't look back with 2020 hindsight next year and see yourself in that 2020 job. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it would be too difficult? Then try Babbel. Babbel starts by teaching you words and phrases that gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations. So in 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking a new language in a few weeks. Babbel is built around real life. It teaches you practical conversations that you will actually use. Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com today. That's Babbel.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Well, the lady we have on next is so important. We can't wait for this music because she's got a lot to say. Colleen Wallen, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How are you? Are you? I said, how are you? Are you fine?
Oh, I didn't hear you.
That's all right.
I'm great. I'm real good.
You know, Colleen Wallen and I have known each other probably for 5 or 6 years, and we've never met because as a matter of fact, I don't know how I got a hold of you the first time. I read something about you and your husband Ward and Silver Creek Dog Sleds, and I contacted you to be on the show. You were nice enough to do that, and then you were really, really nice to donate a couple of half-day dog sledding trips up in the Grand Two Harbors area and teaching people up there for our Lions Club Sportsman's Dinner, raise a lot of money for our Lions Club. So you and your husband, Ward, are very nice people.
Well, thanks. Yeah. We try to. Yeah. Only on Sundays,
yeah. Hey, you know, what's been happening? I haven't talked to you in a little while. Now, I know the John Bear Grease is coming up shortly, and you are still going to run. There can't be a whole lot of snow up there.
There isn't a whole lot of snow. We got probably 2 inches last night, which is huge. We'll take whatever flakes we can get. A lot has happened with COVID. I'm on the board. I'm the musher rep, and we've worked hard on a COVID plan. We have worked hard on having a race this year. Several of the races have been canceled, but we are starting at 9 a.m. on January 31st. The marathon starts in Duluth. We go up to Grand Portage and finish up there. It's approximately 300-plus miles.
Oh, it is. And the young kid, I was looking at your website today, as a matter of fact. One of the races that you were going to do events you were going to do was the Lake Minnetonka Klondike, and I was going to try to get out there and meet you this year, but that's canceled because of what's going on, and it's going to be taking place again in 2022. But there's a young kid I read about. I got to find his name here. Morgan something, and he's from Brule, Minnesota. He's 14 years old, and he's raced in this thing 7 times. Is that right?
I in the Bear Grease?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It very well could be. Maybe doing the 40-mile race or the 120-mile race. Not so far as I know the marathon.
Yeah, probably the 40-mile race, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and people come from all over. I mean, mushing, you know, it affects everybody, young, old, doctors, lawyers, anybody, you know. Mushing just kind of grabs a person. So if Morgan has been racing, I wouldn't doubt it a minute.
Yeah, go ahead, Sam. Sam's got a question.
Hey, Colleen, Sam here. Got a quick question for you. That 300 and some mile race, how long does that take?
We'll finish on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, depending on the condition. So it'll take all day Sunday, all day Monday, all day Tuesday, and perhaps into Wednesday if we get a lot of snow. The trail gets slows down quite a bit. And then our times are a little slower. Right now the trail is pretty fast, so we'll probably, right now from what I can see, we'll finish late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning.
We're talking with Colleen Wallen. She and her husband Ward own Silver Creek Dog Sleds in Two Harbors, and they're going to be racing the John. I don't know if Ward is, but I know you are, and your son is. You're excited about that. The John Bear Grease Marathon in Ely, Minnesota has been going on for 40 years. How many times have you run this thing?
This will be my 19th time.
And your best finish is?
Third place.
That a girl.
Right.
That a girl.
Yeah. Yep, I've started to tell people I used to deliver mail with John Bear Grease.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, take 30 seconds for a minute and explain the reason for the John Bear Grease race. Who is John Bear Grease?
Yep, he's the son of a Chippewa chief who delivered mail by dog team along the North Shore back in the 1800s, early 1900s. So we follow that trail all the way up to Grand Portage, and it's the same trail he delivered mail on. There is trail mail. People can buy trail mail. We all carry mail. We're sworn in as postal carriers.
Cool.
We all carry mail. It's trail mail, and then it's delivered from there.
That is so
That's
cool.
That's really cool.
You know, again, going through your background again, I get a kick out of it because you talked about, you know, you get so excited. Once you do this, you're hooked. And she said she began in 1994 as a volunteer, and from that day, you were hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's
yeah.
true. So, yeah, so I'll touch a little bit on our son. He's 18. He's running the marathon this year. He's running our A team, and I'm running, I call it the very naughty puppy team.
Yeah.
But keep your eye out for Arrow. He should be fairly competitive. He's 18, and he's a rookie, so it's going to get interesting.
What a thrill. Sam, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask a couple of questions here, if you don't mind. One, how does someone get into this? And on the racing part, obviously, you're not constantly going through the night. You set up camp and stuff. What are the rules to that type of thing?
So, yep, you start, and you can have handlers, and Ward's always handling with us. We have a crew of friends, and you get into a checkpoint. They help you bed the dogs down. They help you feed the dogs. The only place we can't have assistance, it's called, right at Sawbill, up the Sawbill Trail.
Mm-hmm.
It's the unassisted checkpoint where we have to do everything ourselves. There's nobody there. We can't have any assistance. We can't have any outside assistance. We boil our own water, cook our own dog food, cook our food for ourselves, you know, sack out in the straw with the dogs, and then get up from Sawbill then, and we run up to Poplar Lake Trail Center Lodge at Poplar Lake.
You know, I tell you what, again, we're talking with Colleen Wallen. We've got the Polish Palace in Mud Creek Road for since 19... And you notice that I spelled palace wrong right on the sign. I don't know if you noticed that.
I love
that. Anyway, so you wouldn't believe how many people call me and says, you spelled palace wrong. I'm a Polak. Give me a break, would you? But anyway...
No, I thought it was hilarious.
It is funny. But anyway, so I've been up there since 1961, and I'm ashamed to say I've never seen the Bear Grease.
Oh, is that right?
I've never
You've
seen
been up there that long? Oh, okay,
19,
yeah.
19, I was 10 years old when my dad and his brothers-in-law built the old Polish Palace, and... And I've been up there every year my entire life, but I've never seen the Bear Grease, and it's got to be one of my goals. How do people participate as as spectators this year with COVID?
So the we aren't allowing any spectators at the start or at the checkpoints. However, the state trail, which is what we run on, the North Shore State Trail, the North Shore State Snowmobile Trail, which we have a permit to run on, that is not closed. So I would expect to see, you know, a good amount of people on their snowmobiles, taking in the race a little bit, just for this year alone. You know, otherwise there's a ton of people at checkpoints. There's fires along the trail at all of the shelters. You know, people are having a beer. They're handing you a beer. They're celebrating. You know, it's a grand old time.
Oh, it's got to be a good time. And again, going back through the website, and I got a kick out of it. Someone was asking you questions, and one of the questions was, how many dogs have you got? And you says, plenty. Do you need one?
Yeah, we keep about 33 to 35 dogs.
What is the, now, I know this answer already, what is the best thing of being a person who raises sled dogs and mushing? What is the best part about the entire experience, the entire career, if you want to call it?
Probably the peace and quiet and the relationship that you really have with your dogs. They know you, you know them. Just really an accomplishing races, just finishing races, you know, getting to the starting line thinking, okay, did we train it, you know, did we train good? Do we need to do anything, change anything? You know, full moons, snowy nights, quiet trails, you know, the stars, northern lights, everything.
Boy, good for you, Mark.
Colleen, this is Mark. I have a question about the dogs. What do you look for? What makes a great sled dog? And do you have like a breeding program with like friends, or how do you build a team?
Yeah, you know, the tug line is how the dog pulls. So a tight tug is a good sign. Great appetite, good personality, well socialized, good feet. And a good eater, somebody that can keep weight. You know, a dog that, you know, we got one dog, her name is Took, and Arrow describes her as, you know, if Took isn't eating, something's really, really wrong, because she's usually eating her bowl and reaching for somebody else's at the same time.
It's like me.
Yeah. So it's kind of like people, you know, right. A good attitude, happy, healthy appetite, willing, ready, able, you know, that rises to the occasion.
How do you come up with 33 dog names?
Oh, it's so easy. But there is something that we do for sure. We have themes for every litter. So most of the boys in four of the boys in Arrow's team is the baseball litter. So it's Altuve, Judge, Clayton, and Harper. Nice. So we know that litter came from Took and Ender. And then we have the weather litter, we have Misty, Fahrenheit, Frost, and we know that litter, we know who that litter is out of. So we try to pick themes.
So you have 30?
We have the Duck Dynasty litter, we have Miss K, Psy, and Happy.
How about the four outdoorsmen next time?
As long as that's right.
Yeah,
how about?
Do the four outdoorsmen.
That's not a bad idea.
Lukey, Strew, and Sam, or whatever you want to do, but the next litter's got to be the four outdoorsmen.
I have another question,
too. Be the
too.
Slowest team you got.
Yeah, yeah. We could definitely eat. I was going to say, so on the 33 to 35 dogs that you have, how many are you running at a time?
The big race for years was a 14-dog race, and now it's a 12-dog race. So we'll hook up 12 dogs at a time. You start the race with 12 dogs. If you have a sore dog, if you have a wrist injury or a dog's not eating, I mean, there's vets at every checkpoint. They're checking everybody's hydration, and you can drop a dog out. They get marked out. You can't ever add any new dogs, and you have to finish with 6 dogs standing at all times.
Wow.
So you can, through attrition, you know, drop a dog if he's tired or she's sore, whatever the case may be, but you can never add a new dog.
Is it a penalty to drop?
No, not at all. Okay. Uh-uh.
It is a penalty if you tie the dog to a tree or something. Yeah, you got to get your ass in the
bed. Right. Yeah. They have to be in the care of your handler for sure, yeah.
Hey, Colleen, I'll tell you what. We're going to wrap this thing up, but I'm so excited for you, and I'm glad you keep doing this. It's a passion because this is not your full-time job. I know you have another job as well, and it's a lot of work. And every year you do this, I follow you guys online during the Bear Grease. Tell us how we can do that. Would you please?
Oh, good. Sure. We will be carrying trackers on our sleds like we do every year. So if you go to www.beargrease.com, you can click on track. You just click on the track, and it'll bring you right to the map. And you can bring your cursor over to a dot, and it'll show you which musher, who is where, and, you know, what place.
How many races are going to be in this race?
19 right now. 19 marathoners, 30 mid-distance, 120 milers, and then 15 40 milers.
What I'm excited about, it seems like the women are dominating the numbers. There's a lot more women this year than there ever have been, I believe.
There really are. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I have to agree.
Good for you. I think I counted like 11 girls you'd be racing, and one of these girls is going to kick some butt of the guys. I'm glad for you guys. I'm excited. We will follow BearGrease.com and just click on track, and we can look up Errol's. Spell your son's name. Spell Errol's name.
E-R-O-W-A-L-L-I-N. Errol Wallen. Yeah.
Jeez. I'll just look up Wallen. How does that sound?
That's perfect.
Hey,
be
safe.
Yep.
Say hi to your husband, Ward, for me. He's a nice man as well, and I'm glad you guys are still out there doing it because it's fun for me from a selfish perspective because I enjoy following you guys, and we'll follow Aaron and you as well and hope you guys do well and be safe, okay?
All right.
Good
Thanks,
luck.
Drew. Thanks, you guys.
You
have a great night.
If you want to use the Polish Palace, just let me know.
Polish Palace. We'll keep in touch about that.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, that's fun, isn't it?
I was going to ask her, too, do they start off like a normal marathon where everyone's lined up?
No, they're like 10-minute intervals or something like that.
It's just the time, right?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Well, we're going to be fishing with dogs, aren't we?
We are.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I forgot
Hopefully
to tell her about that.
We got some good eaters.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we're fine. We've got to wrap it up. Be right back with Jason Mitchell. Jason Mitchell Outdoors, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. True Man here for one of our favorite fishing destinations, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. With plenty of guiding services, you'll have every opportunity to catch your limit of walleyes or jumbo perch, or both. Find out why Devil's Lake has earned the reputation of being the perch capital of the world and also being ranked one of the top five fishing destinations in the United States. It's great fishing, hotels, restaurants, and great people. Hey, go have some fun. Book your trip by visiting devilslakend.com. Thanks.
If your furnace or AC rolls over, it's time to call the top dog, Dazeal Heating and Air Conditioning. With fast emergency service, when you call, we come running. Our experts are well-trained and lead the pack in residential furnace and AC repair and replacement. We always listen and work to assure your family's safety. Plus, easy, available financing means there's no runaround. Dazeal Heating and Air, the homeowner's best friend. Serving Wright County and the West Metro. Online at DazeelHVAC.com.
No boat show in 2021? No worries. Open Water will be here before you know it, and you can still claim your 2021 build slot. Trade in now and reserve your custom 2021 model for a spring delivery. Alumacraft, Ranger, and Lund fishing boats. Godfrey, Lowe, and Ranger pontoons. Don't miss the mark. Get your build reserved today now while you still can. Call 763-576-1706 to order yours today. Visit PowerLodge.com and check out the huge selection, or visit Power Lodge in Ramsey, Brainerd, or Mille Lacs.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Hinneker's Quick Hitch and Trip Edge systems makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for commercial or residential use. Have a bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Go to crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. Your jobs are small because we do it all.
Hey, let's get right to it. Our friend Jason Mitchell's on the Four Outdoorsman. Thanks to Colleen Wallen, the sled dog racer, who's going to be up in Ely, Minnesota. We got to do that sometime, man.
Oh, yeah.
We got to do it sometime. Hey, Jason, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman. How are you, sir?
Great. How are you doing?
Every day's a gift, pal. So are you not doing any trips right now? You're home with the family?
Yeah, just fishing around here this week, so.
Well, good for you. Well, hopefully, maybe we'll see you Thursday or Friday and give us a few tips. Jason Mitchell, of course, has Jason Mitchell Outdoors and lots of stuff and fishing rods and all kinds of things. But his TV show is on, I believe, Fox Sports North. I've seen the last couple. I see them all. on Sunday mornings. It's live, but I DVR them, and I sit down with a cocktail and catch about five or six in a row. You have been busy.
At 9 in the morning.
At 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, I get up early. So what's new with you? What's new with Devil's Lake? Because, of course, the boys and I are going to be up there Thursday through Saturday and visit Susie and the gang and fish for a couple of days. How are things going as far as fishing in Devil's Lake?
You know, it's up and down. I guess that's kind of what we're seeing all over, everywhere we've been traveling to, too, where you have, like, maybe one good day, then one tough day, then a good day, then a mediocre day, then two tough days. It just seems like it's just kind of up and down, which I guess can be typical this time of year. But, you know, we've had pretty good fishing. I mean, the good days are good. You know, that's one thing I will say is that we've seen some pretty good perch bites this winter. And obviously the walleyes are always pretty steady, too. And I haven't even really had a chance to pike fish much yet, but they're usually biting if you fish for them. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty good winter. Now it's finally starting to get cold. You know, we've been hanging on, oh, goodness, there's still, you know, places with 8-9 inches of ice, and there's places where there's like 15-16 inches of ice. The ice is all over the board. But the biggest thing this year is, you know, we had a lot of pressure just pop up early, and then it just stayed so nice and so mild that they just never really healed up, you know, and those are – that's probably the dangerous thing this year is just the pressure ridges and the ice heaves. You just got to really, you know, pick your way across them and use some common sense around that. So,
now, you spent a lot of time, I think, I know there's a number of little lakes around there. As a matter of fact, one year, Mark and I, Mark Luke and my buddy over there, and Sam's next to me as well, we went out with Fish Addiction, right?
Yeah.
Those guys, Fish Addiction. They took us Alice Lake or something like that? And, and boy, was that – it was brutal getting back there. It was early in the season, and it was a lot of fun, and we did well. But that's – so I imagine
– it was so strange fishing for walleyes in 7-8 feet of water.
And that's –
you know what I mean?
Yeah. I just saw one of your shows, and I don't know if it was Alice or not, Jason, but you were fishing. You were catching walleyes in 3 and 4 feet of water and decent fish.
Yeah. Yeah, and we were, you know, kind of up – we weren't on Alice, but we were right up in that same area, you know, shallow lakes north of Highway 2. And those fish – really well early on, and they're still producing fish, but it's really turned into more of an evening bite. Earlier on, we were catching fish all day up there, but now it's gotten to be an evening bite, which can be pretty typical of walleye fishing. So,
all right. So, if you were going to go out tomorrow, let's say you were going out tomorrow, like our first day up there, it's only a couple of days away, so the conditions can't change much in the next couple of days. If you were going out tomorrow, what would your presentation be? How would you attack it if you're going to catch walleyes and perch?
Well, if I was going to try to catch both, I'd set up on deeper rocks. You know, the deep rock, you know, if you can find boulders or rocks that are, say, oh, maybe the size of a bowling ball or bigger, you know, in 30 foot of water or up to maybe 36 feet of water, you know, we've been catching perch and walleyes mixed together on those types of spots. So
you're saying hire a guide.
Well, no, I mean, those spots, you know, I mean, a lot of people come up and don't hire a guide and catch fish.
No,
you know, but you do have to have the equipment, at least have a map chip, you know, a good map chip of the lake so you can kind of see some of the structure and see where you're fishing. So,
you know, we are going to go up there, and Susie's going to put us in touch with someone who's got a snow bear, I think, from Woodland. And we might spend the money just to do that for the entire day because, it's number one, it's fun. It's something we don't normally do. And the opportunity to catch fish, of course, are going to be expanded because we're going to be covering more territory. But I bet it's been a long time since you've been in the snow bear.
Well, you know, I was actually probably one of the first guys to guide out of a snow bear, at least on Devil's Lake.
Oh, fun.
I know some guys are using them over in Minnesota, too, and they're awesome to fish out of. You know, they can be tough to guide out of because, obviously, they're a big investment, and you got to try to, you know, you can only have, you know, basically three people fish as comfortably out of one. And, you know, and if you have two people to justify the expense of the snow bear, you know, you got to charge more money. So how I like to use it is I would actually haul flip-over fish houses behind me and set my guys up in the fish houses because what I found is if I had everybody with me with the snow bear, it bogged me down so much where I couldn't find fish. My hands were tied.
Yeah.
Every time I moved, I had to move them, whereas, you know, and so that was the big disadvantage of trying to guide out of one. So what I like to do is pull the flip-overs behind, then I'd set my guys up, you know, where we're catching fish, then I would keep looking, you know, and usually have a little bit of, you know, method behind the madness as far as where I set guys up, you know. And the other thing I found too is like even on tough bites sometimes if I even had two or three guys I'd still set up two houses because if you can spread those houses apart in two good spots you just contact that many more fish, you know, because say if five fish swim underneath four people in a snow bear, well you catch say two or three of them, you know, that's two or three fish, whereas if you had people split up and spread out, you know, you just contact that many more fish. And so they're fun to fish out of, but they can be tricky to guide out of.
Well, we like to be coddled, so we're probably not going to leave the snow bear the entire day. No, unless I have to run to go to the bathroom, which will happen.
Yeah.
But I remember we did it. This kind of says how long of our partnership with Devil's Lake has been. We did do a snow bear trip probably 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was before electric augers were big, right?
Yeah.
So I remember having to get out of the snow bear while holes were being drilled. And they would air the thing out, and then we'd go back in and fish. I suppose with the electric augers, that's not a thing anymore. You just sit there and drill your holes.
It still can be when the ice gets really, really thick, when you're like two extensions and you still can't get through, and then you got to back up. And but yeah, I remember like marking the ice with the the snow bear, and then pulling ahead and then drilling your holes, then trying to back up over your holes. And yeah, we did a lot of that back in the day. So.
You know, when I watched one of your episodes, again, Jason Mitchell with Jason Mitchell Outdoors, and we're supposed to talk about Devil's Lake, North Dakota, because it's number one, they're our sponsor, and we love going there, and you're from there. And we will, but I got to talk. This is Devil's Lake, because the first show that I saw in the last couple of weeks was you were with Jaden Thomas, I think it is, from Shields, and you were fishing one of the shallower lakes right around Devil's Lake there. And it's the first time I heard the term shallow water prairie butterballs. You hear that? He called those chubby walleyes butterballs. I thought that was a cool term.
Yeah, that's the first time I ever heard it, too. I've heard of, like, buffleheads and stuff, people, bluebills, they only call them. Butterballs, but yeah, I thought that was a pretty good term. He's a great kid.
Well, he seemed like a great kid. He spoke well as well. And one of the things that I was surprised is that you're using, in that shallow water, 1 to 3 to 4 feet, was big baits and big hooks. And I'm surprised that the walleyes were as aggressive as they were on such a big bait and big hooks in shallow water.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I think a mistake a lot of people make is, if you're going to fish for walleyes and there's only, say, 2 or 3 feet of water underneath the ice, usually they're up there to eat, and the other thing is when you set the hook on them, it's really easy to knock them off on the bottom of the ice, or the bottom of the hole.
Yeah.
And so it's not a deal where you want to use, say, 4 or 6 pound monofilament. I mean, I'll take guys out if they got 4 or 6 pound monofilament and just, say, a normal small size spoon with a tiny treble hook. They dump so many fish, it's unbelievable. And so, I crank up a lot of times what I'll do is I'll put my finger over the line when I'm jigging. So that way, when I set the hook, the drag doesn't slip, and I just cross their eyes. And I like to use a lot of 8 and 10 pound braid. And then up there, I'm using a 14 pound fluorocarbon leader, just because there's pike up there that'll take your tackle. And upsize, go with the biggest hook you can get away with, and cross their eyes and get them up the hole. once they get started up the hole, they pretty much swim right up at you. There's nowhere for them to go.
Jason, when you're fishing that shallow, do you have to be like really quiet, or you're right next to the fish? Do you have to drill a hole and wait a few minutes for them to come back, or does it spook them?
Here's what's interesting. At times, no, and there's times, especially it seems like when you have thicker ice or snow cover, where it doesn't seem to matter. I mean, you can pull up and you can drill a hole and catch one almost immediately. But like this year, for example, the days where I did best were where I found them. I just settled down. I basically fished the same hole all day, and every, half an hour, 40 minutes or so, a new wave of fish would come through, and, I'd catch one or two or whatever. And it seemed like when I sat in good spots, I did really good. But if there's days where, say, I went half an hour, I didn't mark one, or 40 minutes, and I get kind of impatient, I'd start bouncing around and moving a lot. And when I moved a lot, I really had tough days. And what's funny is that's been happening to me a lot this year, where if I move too much and get too aggressive and try to really run and gun, I get my clock cleaned by guys that just sit in the same spot all day. And I think what it is, my theory to this, and actually we just did a tip video on this here recently, where, we don't have nearly as much ice this year. Early on up in Irving and Alice, when we were fishing that early on, we were on, 6-8 inches of ice. Well, there's more ice now, but there's a lot of places where, it's still hanging on 12 inches of ice. And there's not a lot of ice. And, we've been seeing that a lot where, you just have to settle down and sit in a spot a little bit and let the fish come back. And you'll even see it where, especially, if people are using LiveScope or Panomix, or somebody will drive by or drive up to you and the fish are just, poof, they're just gone. They're just moving. The fish just seem to be moving a lot this year, and they seem to be bumping off of us a lot more than, what it seemed like in the past. I think it's just because we don't have as much ice. I think they're just a little bit more sensitive to noise this year.
Do you fish on your day off? Are you
I don't get many days off. I mean, I'm fishing all the time. I got other stuff to do. I mean, I've got, you know, I'm running a business, you know, so I mean, there's times where I'm in the office getting caught up. There's times where we're having employee meetings kind of going over where we hope to film and what we're hoping to accomplish. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, there's things that we have to do like everybody else running a business, but our business is fishing, you know, so we fish a lot. And it's important for what we do to keep trying stuff and experimenting with stuff, whether it's new lures, new technology, whatever it is. You know, invariably, sometimes we just go out just to, you know, just to see how some electronics work or just to see how lure prototypes work.
Right.
You know, and ultimately, you know, we try a lot of stuff that doesn't work, too. You know, in order to find whether it's special spots or things that people have overlooked or just the really special things, whether it's a secret lake or whatever it is, you know, you end up trying a lot of things that don't work in order to find the special things. The only alternative to that is just to keep going back to the well and same old spots end up becoming community holes, but you never see the best of the best when it comes to fishing. And so if you're willing to strike out, that's how you hit home runs, you know. So.
There you go. Yeah, like Hank Aaron, my buddy Hank Aaron. I got to tell you Hank Aaron's story off the air, guys. Hey, I'll tell you what. You've done so much, and you've traveled so many places and filmed so many places. You've had a great career, and it's not over by any means. But I did see a recent show that has to be one of the highlights of your life as far as Jason Mitchell Outdoors, where we were fishing West Montana Rainbow Trout with Jim Kalkofan.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
It was wonderful show.
Oh, it was neat. Well, it's so beautiful out there, you know. And you know, a lot of you might remember his name. You know, he was, the MC or ran the PWT back in the day for many, many years.
Yeah.
And then he had some kids that moved out to Montana. Then he had grandkids out there. So he just packed up and moved out there. And it's kind of a deal where he moved out there. Nobody ever really heard from him again. And after I got out there, I can kind of see why. I mean, there's some phenomenal fishing. And what's interesting about this is that, you know, we wanted to do the high mountain trout thing. Because for us, you know, catching these beautiful rainbows, that's kind of an exotic thing that we don't get to do or see very often.
Right, right.
But they have great walleye fishing and crappies and big pike. They have a lot of, I guess, what you'd call cool water, warm water species. You know, way better fishing than what anybody'd ever envisioned, because you think of trout when you think of Western Montana. So that was kind of eye-opening, is just all the stuff that they've got going on. And as you can imagine, in Western Montana, a fish like a pike or a largemouth bass, I mean, they die of old age before they ever see a lure, you know. Unless somebody actually accidentally catches it on like a clouser minnow or something on a fly rod, they're never going to get caught, you know. I mean, just everybody fishes for trout out there. So kind of a neat part of the world.
You know, it was, I remember when you started the show, and the first thing you said, well, it was a 12-hour drive, you know. That's a long ways for Jason Mitchell to sit in a vehicle just to try to catch a few fish. But some of the rainbow trout were absolutely gorgeous. I don't know if they're 4 or 5 pounds. I don't know what they are. I don't know how big they get. But you were using real small jigs with real light line, and the fight had to be so much fun.
It was. You know, we were using 6-pound monofilament on just a, you know, 36-inch dead meat rod that, you know, like you'd use for perch or even crappies. And, you know, and obviously 6-pound test is a little bit heavier than what you'd use for those species.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, they're just the tiniest little bite, just a peck of a bite, almost like a bluegill bite, and you'd set the hook, and it was just a matter of hanging on. They were just peeling off drag for a long time. We actually had to condense a lot of the fights because we only have a half-hour show, and some of those fish, I swear, they ran for 5 minutes. It was fun.
I found it interesting that almost every bite, every fish that you brought up the hole was hooked right beneath the upper part of the mouth. That was it, straight ahead, nothing. They never took them down. They must have been very tentative, but it looked like an absolute riot. And I remember also, you just talked about it, you were on your knees a couple of times. You looked around and you said, you know what? I mean, the view is worth being here. You know, it's not the destination, it's the journey. Mm-hmm. And the view, you were like a little kid again. That was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was cool. It's the first time we've ever gone out there and filmed, you know, in Western Montana. So definitely hoping that something will be back and do again. So
yeah, JK's he's a riot, and he's funny, he's sarcastic, and he knows what he's doing. And when he left, we've had him on the show a couple of times before.
Yeah, he used to run the Minnesota Teen Challenge.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
We had him on a bunch of times. Great guy, great guests.
And I when I found out he was going to Montana, I saw the same thing that you were thinking, Jason. Why is he going out there? And is he coming back? And no, he's there, and he posts a whole lot of stuff. He's in heaven. He's a great, great guy. So that's a good contact.
Yep.
Hey, all your entire years of fishing, you've caught a lot of monster fish, including that 17-pound or whatever it was, of course. But do you have any fish mounts at your home? Have you mounted a fish?
Not in many, many years. I have a bunch of replicas. I haven't kept a fish in, you know, a big fish in years. When I was younger, like when I was guiding, I had a couple of old ratty fish mounts. And basically what it was customers kept a 8-9 pound walleye. They took it to the taxidermist and then they'd pay half down and then they never returned calls or whatever. So I end up with a couple of fish mounts that way. Yeah. Never came to pick them up. But no, I was never really big on mounting fish. I just never did. But now, you know, with our, you know, we've got a new corporate headquarters where we had some replicas made of a lot of neat fish that were kind of noteworthy for us on the show and stuff. And so we've got some really cool replicas, but never, you know, never really kept a lot of fish for skin mounts. I had plenty of customers that kept them, you know, but never, you know, a lot of times when I was guiding too, you know, if I had a big fish on, I usually, you know, I was always handing the rod over. I wasn't out there to catch them for me. I mean, the people aren't out there to watch me catch a big fish. So if I knew I had something serious, I'd be handing the rod over pretty quick, you know. So.
All right, listen, of course, Devil's Lake, North Dakota is one of our favorite destinations. We've been out there a lot. I've never hunted out there, but I fished out there a lot, and I can't wait to go back. You're born and raised there, so you're biased, but try to be objective and tell our listeners what's so special about Devil's Lake.
Well, just to clarify, I wasn't born and raised here. I came here when I was about 20 years old. I grew up in Minot, North Dakota, and I've been out here for almost 25 years. Mm-hmm. But you know, I grew up with fish on the Missouri River, you know, on Lake Sakakawea.
Oh,
and
boy.
In 93 was the year that I graduated, and then we had a really wet summer. And actually, I was in basic training that summer, and I remember people telling me how much it's raining, you know, at home and stuff. And then that was kind of the start of the wet cycle. And I think I ended up coming out to Devil's Lake in like 96, 97, 96, I think, something like that. And then we just had this wet cycle. So we just had the lake tripled in size. And that's been kind of the story of Devil's Lake. And so that's one of the things that's made Devil's Lake so incredibly unique in today's world because, you know, you have all this new water. You have this flooded terrestrial vegetation, all this flooded timber. And you cover that land with water. You just have this productivity that's off the charts. And what's so unusual about it in today's world, we used to have a lot of that, like, say, in the 60s when we were building a lot of dams and reservoirs in this country, or, you know, earlier on when eminent domain was way more common.
Oh, yeah.
And you look at that era, you know, when they built, like, say, Bull Shoals and Lake Oahe and, you know, whether it was on the Tennessee River or down in the Ozarks, the Missouri River impoundments, you had all these new reservoirs, whether it was bass or walleye fishing. You know, that was kind of the heyday as far as productivity on some of those reservoirs. Now, the Missouri River system is unique because it gets lowered down so much, then it refloods. And so, you know, every 10 years when you get that high water cycle again, you get that new bump. But like some of those lakes on the Tennessee Valley, for example, those KVA lakes, you know, they haven't really lowered or raised in years. And so the productivity declines over time. And so, you know, you talk to like people that, you know, fish those Ozark reservoirs, for example, they talk about, you know, the huge bass used to catch at one time. And,
yep.
You know, and those days will never return unless they were to draw the reservoir way down, let trees grow up and brush and grass and stuff, then flood it, you know. And so that is what made Devil's Lake so unique for our time, for modern times, that you have that phenomena in a world where we'll never see that eminent domain again.
Yeah.
You know, we'll never. That was a time where, you know, a government authority would knock on your door and say, hey, we're building a reservoir for the commonwealth, for the common good.
Here's $20. See you later.
Yeah.
Yep. You got to pack up and move, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just how things were done back then. And, you know, and just we'll just never see that again, probably. So that's why I think Devil's Lake is just such a neat fishing story,
yeah.
You know, in the modern times.
Some of the things you just brought up makes you realize how difficult being involved with the DNR really is. It's a tough job. I'll tell you what, hey, Jason Mitchell Outdoors, Sunday mornings on Fox Sports around here. I don't know where else you are, but we sure love it. And Devil's Lake, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoors. But one more time, hopefully we'll see you Thursday or Friday and BS a little bit. But, boy, take care of your family, and thanks for everything you do.
You bet. Thank you, guys. We'll probably see you. I'll be around fishing.
All right, take care, buddy. Take care of yourself.
Well,
that's a special man there. He's got a hell of a career. All right,
Can't wait to go.
Yeah, thanks to Jason Mitchell. Thanks to Colleen Wallen and the sled dog lady up at the Bear Grease this coming weekend.
And
Mike Rates. Mike Rates as well gave us the Lake Report. Join us next week if you would. In the meantime, get ready for Real Talk Outdoors. But until then, Mark's got something to say.
Get outside and make some memories.